Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis, coach, NCAA basketball, Indiana High School State Final basketball, a lot of basketball to talk about today.
Joe, there's always a lot to talk about on the Coach K and Joe Show. A lot of times it's relevant, and sometimes it's just nonsense. It just depends on what we're talking about and when you might be talking. Just teasing, Joe. Last night, Joe, for our listeners, we had a pre-show meeting at Wings and Rings in Jasper. For our listeners outside of the tri-state area, the show originates out of one studio in Jasper, Indiana, and the other one in Evansville, Indiana, in the southern part of the state. We met at Wings and Rings last night. A great place to go in Jasper, or if anywhere from around the area, if you want to go there to eat and have something to drink. And we really got a lot accomplished, Joe, in between your summer shandies and everything that went on. We got a lot talked about. We saw a lot of basketball on TV. Talked to several people at Wings and Rings, and it prepared us 2 hours of nonstop committed sports talk radio on the internet.
I'll tell you what, it was a great night at Wings and Rings. If you haven't tried the peach habanero wings, you've got to go to Wings and Rings in Jasper and Bedford and try them. But of course, I thought Steve Milligan was the only person that had his wings without any sauces, but I found out that Coach K also does that.
Well, Joe, sometimes I'm in the mood to be a little saucy, and other times I just want it plain. And last night, after putting up with all the stuff you were telling me, I just went for the plain wings because I didn't want my stomach to be any more upset than what it was.
I'll tell you what, though, I've got to give you one more plug. You know, go into Wings and Rings, go sit at the bar, go talk to Andy Kasperzak. You know, Mike Bartley and the crew over there should probably charge just for the right to talk to Andy, because you get to learn all his wisdom. He's also a fellow hockey fan, you know, they have a blast in there.
Yeah, he does a great job. We really appreciate, you know the old Cheers song, theme song, where everybody knows your name. Andy really does remember your name. So regardless of the day you're having, or maybe the week you're having, maybe you went home and nobody knew your name, Andy will remember your name when you come in. But it's a good evening to get out, watch some basketball, and talk to some people, and we really enjoyed it. You know, Joe, this is also spring break week for a lot of high schools and colleges. They're going on, and we've got a listener down in Mexico. I think Bill and Missy Kremp and their family are down in Mexico. And we think they may be listening to the show all the way from Mexico.
Yeah, Missy's a dedicated listener and sent me a message today to ask if she could listen on her iPad. And for all you people out there, iPad, iPhone, smartphones, computers, there's a multitude of ways to listen to the Coach K and Joe Show, and you should. And you should also be texting your friends and telling them about the great show that's going on right now.
Absolutely, and we know that Missy and Bill have a son who's a golfer, and we're actually going to be talking some high school golf later in the show with a member of the number 15-ranked Jasper golf team. Jacob Bartley's going to be on the show in the second hour. We're also going to be talking some high school basketball with Mike DeCourcy, the voice of the Bar E Vikings. Of course, the state boys basketball finals are going on this weekend up in Indianapolis, and Coach K, I will be there. Hopefully Joe came up with those press passes for me. And then in the first hour, we'll have Jeff Rabjohns. We're going to talk a little bit about IU and what's been going on with the Hoosiers up in Bloomington. And Jeff knows what's going on, knows who's leaving, knows who they're recruiting. And we'll throw some tough questions at Jeff, and that'll be around 10:30 Eastern time here on the show. Joe, I want to bring up a couple things in the news. We just touched base on some of the happenings in the sports world that are out there, ripped from the headlines is what, you know, you get those TV shows, they always say, ripped from the headlines. Ripped from the headlines on the Coach K and Joe show. The Colts owner, Jim Irsay, and, you know, we don't like to get into people's troubles, but it was interesting. There was a news report today, or came out yesterday and today, that Jim Irsay had $29,000 in his car when he was stopped, along with various pills and things. And I know that Mr. Irsay has had some issues with chemical dependencies in the past. I don't want to pile on him. I'm sure all these things have come together. But it really, not that I wouldn't like to drive around with $29,000 in cash or just have $29,000 in cash, period. But, Joe, you got to wonder about a situation where a guy's out and he's got all this stuff going on, and when they go through his things, he's got $29,000 in cash. And I think that the news story said it was in various lots of money, in some bags, in a box. Really a sad situation right now for the Colts owner, Jim Irsay.
Yeah, hopefully he can get some help. I mean, you know, anyone, you know, whether it be Jim Irsay or just average Joe on the street, you know, chemical dependencies are a terrible thing and ruin lives, ruin families, and hopefully Jim will do the right thing and get some help and go that route. Hey, Coach, I just got a text. Our good friend Slick Webbers must be listening because he just texted me and said next time we're talking basketball to give him a call. I guess he would have loved to have been at Wings and Rings last night.
Well, if anybody can liven the conversation, it's Slick. And the great thing about Slick, Joe, is he brings such a positive and uplifting attitude to the group, and it really would help balance out some of the crazy things you'd say when you talk about Purdue and the Boilermakers. So, Slick, you're always invited, and of course we'll do that next time. A couple other things in the headlines. There was an interesting blog written. It was an article written by Tom Brady. I have posted it on the Coach K and Joe, that's A-N-D, Coach K and Joe Twitter account. If you're not following us, you need to, because we're updating all throughout the show and those types of things. But it's a great article on the fire that happened in Boston a couple days ago, a horrible fire in the main area of Boston, building burned down. But the thing that was so bad, loss of property is one thing, folks. Loss of your personal goods is one thing. But when there's loss of life, that's what really hurts. And it happened to be just a couple of buildings away from where Tom Brady, Giselle and his daughter live. And Giselle noticed the fire, and Tom came out, was watching it, went on the back deck and was watching. And he wrote about the heroic efforts of the Boston Fire Department and being heroes in perspective. And he talks about how the firemen didn't flinch. And this happens all over the country, folks. It happens in small towns with volunteer fire departments. It happens with the forestry in major forest fires that take place out in California and different places in every city. They didn't think twice about going into these buildings to secure people's lives, get them out of there. Two Boston firemen lost their life that day. They got trapped in the basement. There was a cave-in, and they were killed. And Tom Brady very eloquently describes what he watched, what he saw, and how he finds it again. And I think a lot of athletes do, especially the ones that really understand, who really know what's going on, about keeping the perspective of what a real hero is. And those are the guys and gals every day that run into buildings, try to stop robberies, whatever it might be in the police and fire arena. They do it every day. And he was an eyewitness to it. At one point, he even took his family and left the building they were in because they were so concerned with it spreading. But he writes a great article on it. If you go to Coach Dan Joe, check our tweets, I have a connection that you can get to that article from. It's really, really a good article. So, you know, we just hope peace and comfort for the families who lost their loved ones in that fire. Also, Joe, it's coming up, NFL, the draft. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, had his pro debate this week. It had music, it had lights, it had celebrities. He was wearing a helmet, he was wearing the patch, and honestly, almost everybody that came out of there upped their stock on Johnny Football. Joe, you're a football guy. Your thoughts?
Listening to ESPN radio yesterday, I wasn't quite sure what the big deal was that he wore a helmet and shoulder pads. I mean, you know, in actuality, that how he'll be throwing the ball when he plays on Sundays. I don't think he'll be running around without a helmet and in a T-shirt. So I did not quite understand the controversy about that. But then they also pointed out that apparently is Nike his sponsor? I'm not sure who he signed with. Had everything that he had on that day for sale shortly after it was shown on the NFL Network.
Yeah, and Johnny Manziel is just one of these captivating figures, at least early in his career. Of course, Heisman Trophy winner as a freshman. He comes out early. People are questioning whether he has the ability, the size. They know that he has the athletic ability. They question his size. They question his ability to just be disciplined and stay in the pocket and make the throws he has to make. But everybody, almost everybody, not everybody, it's never everybody. It's never 100%, folks. It's never 100%. But most people who had been watching Johnny Manziel had questions on him. They definitely raised the stock on him, put him up, many of them, above Teddy Bridgewater, who they did not feel very good about. But I saw Teddy Bridgewater with John Gruden, John Gruden's coach's camp. And I thought John Gruden did a great job of talking with Bridgewater. He took him out on the field. They ran some routes and things. And Bridgewater made every throw, Joe. And John Gruden was quick to say, you know, Teddy, the media is not going to remember the good things you did. They're looking for your flaws, and that's what they're going to really extrapolate on. And Bridgewater was really quick to say, you know, he understood that. He was ready for that, and he was being focused. Of course, Bridgewater is pretty close by to at least where we're at the University of Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky. And, of course, Louisville's in the news playing UK. We'll talk about them a little bit later. But the last thing on our rip from the headlines, before we talk a little bit about the Heat-Pacer game the other night, how about Miguel Cabrera getting ready to sign? Now listen to this, folks. This is what I call the stupidity continues in Major League Baseball and pro sports, unless there's something going on in the back room where they think they're going to recoup this money or more, maybe playing to the Latin population of this country and around the world. Miguel Cabrera, he's 30 years old. Is he one of the greatest hitters in the game? Yes, he is. No doubt about it. He's 30 years old. But he's 30 years old, folks. And about 33, I was a little better than that. I went to about 36 or 37. Joe was right there about 35 or 36. About 33, your skills start to hit their ceiling. And come 35, you're going to have some great games, but you're going to have several poor games. And baseball is a long season. Miguel Cabrera, 30 years old, 200 $93 million 10-year contract. That means that Detroit is going to pay him into at least his 40th year, and I haven't seen a baseball player yet, unless he's on steroids, play 38, 39, 40 at the level of his 29, 30, 31, 32 year of age, injury-free, with the same toughness. I'm talking about the physical toughness, the mental toughness, the maturity's there, the physical toughness to endure a very, very long season. And you can say, well, you know, he's a great hitter. He can DH. Folks, he's also a portly or husky young man in his 30th year. $293 million. Joe, will the, and I'm happy for Miguel Cabrera, but will the insanity of general managers and owners who aren't paying attention, will it ever stop? Will the insanity ever stop, Joe?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to your story about the firefighters. You know, there are very important jobs that don't get paid real well, and here are pro athletes that are getting paid an ungodly amount. And I don't know. I mean, it's the amount of money they make. I mean, sometimes I want, you know, when they're holding out and they're mad about what they're making, I'm thinking, how much is enough, in all honesty? I mean, I know you're trying to maximize the money you're going to make, because just as you said, at his age, you know, he's only got so many years to make money as a pro athlete. But it just kind of baffles my mind, trying to go to a pro sporting event these days. You know, you have to take out a second mortgage on your house to be able to go. And it's just crazy, but you know, I guess as long as the GMs are willing to pay it, the players are going to demand it.
And Joe, I want our listeners to understand, I'm not against people being able to make that money. I mean, I hope it's my family someday. Obviously, I'm hoping $29,000 of cash I can ride around with in my car in various bags and boxes, but. It, to me, I see corporations, and I've been in the business world, folks. I've been in large corporations. I see them all the time cutting people's jobs to make a little bit more money to the bottom line or up the stock price. And then I see major league sports paying these incredible sums of money. Again, more power to the athlete who gets it, but it's just – who's minding, dotting the I's and crossing the T's? It's crazy. Miguel Cabrera is a great player, but very rarely, I don't even know if you can say ever, has a Major League Baseball player without chemical help been able to go into his late 30s and produce at a level that would warrant that kind of money. I would rather see them pay big, big contracts for 5 years, pay that money up big for 5 years, and guys, you know, I can hear the agents now. Well, my client, what's he going to do at 37, 38, 39? He needs an income. No, he doesn't. Not after you've made $150 million in 5 years. I mean, if his agent is doing the job and he surrounded himself with people of quality, my gosh, he's never going to need any income except what he gets on his investments. And I can point him to a financial advisor right now at Edward Jones, Janet Schultheis, if they need that. But my point is, folks, these people in these management positions, they are mortgaging their entire team and making it difficult for the fans with these contracts of this size for one player. Now, maybe there's more to it behind the scenes we don't know about. But we talk about, there's a new story that came out, Joe, I think it's worth mentioning on our show, Peyton Manning. And everybody in Indiana still loves Peyton Manning. He did so much for the Indianapolis Colts and so much to PR the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis. He's now with the Denver Broncos. When he was released by the Colts, by Colts owner Jim Irsay. When he was released by the Colts, and of course they got a great quarterback in Andrew Luck for the future, and he was picked up, it was going to be signed by either the Dolphins or the Broncos, who he eventually goes to, or some other teams. This is what the story is. He told his agent, said, I think we can get $25 million a year, maybe $29 million. He told his agent, what does Tom Brady make? His agent came back, said he makes 18-something a year, $18 million a year. And Peyton Manning said, I do not want to be paid more than Tom Brady. And his agent was like, but Peyton, we can get you more. I don't, Tom Brady. And I think that the people that question Peyton Manning as a man, as a person, if he has any shortcomings, when you think of the professional athletic world, and I don't think it's a shortcoming, this guy, he does get it. He's a humble person. He's the real deal. Now, he did sign for $19 million. You say, well, Coach K, that's more than $18 million. Well, the story goes on to say that his agent, when he called his agent, Peyton threw a fit and demanded he go back and get that changed. His agent said, Peyton, I can't do that. End up talking with his wife later, and his wife convinced Peyton to go ahead with the deal. Now, is this PR fluff? I don't know. It could have come out a long time ago and never did. But I think that it helps me a little bit. At least Peyton Manning gets it. You know, it's not out to break everybody's bank. It's out there to get paid at a level that makes you up there, but you don't break the bank, buddy, and you don't say, I should get more money than him. He should get more money than this guy. It doesn't work like that. So, Joe, I thought that was pretty interesting on Peyton Manning requesting not to be paid more than Tom Brady.
Well, the one thing I also want to bring out, too, one of the whipping childs of the NFL is Jay Cutler. And, you know, Jay is, everyone talks about how selfish Jay Cutler is, this, that, and the other thing. He's also restructuring his contract to help out his team. He's going to take a cut in pay just so they can bring in some better talent. And, you know, I thought that was kind of noteworthy just because, you know, Jay does get such a bad rap, especially amongst the Bears fans. And, you know, he is doing what he needs to do to try to help them out. I mean, he could say, well, I want this money. You know, I'm already guaranteed it. And he's willing to let them restructure his contract to make a lower amount to make the Bears a better team. He didn't have to do that.
And I think, again, these are the little things we don't always hear about some of these players. And Jay Cutler understands if they're going to be successful, they got to have more players than Jay Cutler. They've got to have some people that can catch the ball. They got to have somebody that can run. And they definitely have to have some people that can block and tackle. And so I think you get to a point as a player, if you're a true competitor, if you're a true competitor, folks, you want to be successful. You want to win. And to do that, you have to be, you know, all our lives we grow up in athletics, and we hear about sacrificing in order to be successful. And as a coach, we talked about sacrificing, committing yourself, giving some these things up in order to focus on this. Well, it's the same thing as a professional athlete. At some point, if you're going to have that wonderful run, if you're going to have that shining moment, if you're going to get to say, I'm going to Disney World, you got to be willing to sacrifice and help the team out. And that's a great story on Cutler, Joe, because he does get a lot of grief. Speaking of grief, the NBA, real quickly, Heat and the Pacers played the other night. It was a brawl. If you did not see it on TV or you were not in the arena, I think somebody said the TV rating in the Indianapolis area was like an 8.4, which is one of the highest, or not, if not the highest, for a sporting event, percent-wise. I mean, the Pacers and the Heat went at it. elbows, knockdowns, hips. It was physical. It was not a beautiful basketball game to watch by any means. We saw one of those with the Wisconsin game last night. It was not a beautiful basketball game. But if you want to talk about knockdown, dragout, regular season, the Pacers got a big win there, folks. If you're a Pacers fan, this team has been reeling. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. If you go back to the Danny Granger cut or release and the pickup of Evan Turner, which I don't think is a bad addition, the Pacers have struggled. And I think they're struggling. Evan Turner is struggling. He's inconsistent. He did have some big shots the other night against the Heat, but he also took some really bad ones. And, folks, if you watch him play, he dribbles too much. And the Pacers' offense is not geared to be successful with all that one-on-one dribbling. The NBA game is one-on-one. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. That's part of the game. Dribble drive to the hoop, create shots. But the Pacers have been so successful because they're not a great offensive team. They're just a great team. They do all the little things right. Evan's got to learn, get rid of the basketball, reposition himself, relocate, as we say in coaching, relocate, and get the ball back. He's going to get a better shot. He's going to get a better opportunity to make something happen for the team to score. But when you dribble 7, 8, 9 times and you don't go anywhere, and for the young people who listen to the show, if you're not going anywhere with the dribble, then all you're doing is showing. You're just showing. You entertain it. I mean, the dribble is there to help you create a passing lane. The dribble is there to help you create a shot. The dribble is there to help you create an opportunity to score, not to stand there and dribble. So that was a great game. The Heat ended up running a play at the end after the Pacers missed a shot. There was enough time on the shot clock to get the ball back. The Heat ran an out-of-bounds play. It ended up going into Chris Bosh's hands. Chris Bosh had a great look, even though the announcer said it was a great closeout by the Pacers. It was, but Chris Bosh already had a great look, a shot, and he's already releasing it when the closeout happened. It didn't affect the shot at all. Bosh was a little short. He did not really shoot well in that game. He did hit a big shot a couple minutes earlier. You would have thought it would have gone to LeBron James, but it didn't. Folks, coaches draw it up, but things change on the court. Defenses adjust, and the guy taking that's got to make a split-second, literally, a split-second decision. So did they want to go to LeBron James? I'm sure they did, and I'm sure they would have wanted to go to Dwayne Wade, but he was off the court. He's nursing an injury in that game that flared up. And Bosh is a multi-million-dollar player, but he didn't make the shot. In fact, it was an air ball. But it was a great game nonetheless. The Pacers needed that win. I might also add that the Heat are struggling. They're 7-8 in March, and I think 1-6. 1-6 on the road. So it's not going great. It's not going great for the Heat. And the Pacers have struggled in March as well. So the two teams that everybody is looking at coming out of the East, they've got to find a way to get it together. And hopefully the Pacers will. I love the Pacers. I love Frank Vogel. If you've listened to the show in the past, you know that I really have an affinity for Coach Vogel and the job he does. And I love the way they play. But having said that, they have not been playing well. And the Heat came into Indy. They had a chance to really have an impact game, and they fell short, and that was great for the Pacers. Also in the NBA, if you're – oh, boy. The city that threw snowballs at Santa Claus, if you're a Philadelphian, you just gotta you just got to wonder what's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers. There's a great storied franchise. Dr. J, Daryl Dawkins, World Be Free. So many good players have come through. Doug Collins. So many good players have come through. I mean, he's just, it's just unbelievable. 26 straight losses for the Philadelphia 76ers. 26. This is a professional NBA team, Millions of dollars on the payroll. They're not very good. Imagine being the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers with 26 straight losses, and it may not end anytime soon. I wonder if he gets up every day or finishes a game and wonders when the owner's calling him in. Now, the conspiracy theorists will say, Coach K, what are you talking about? They're trying to lose. They're trying to get in a position to get that first pick. I really don't know what their draft situation will be. I don't know if they've given up some of their draft picks. I'm not even sure. But I've got to wonder, about the Sixers right now. Joe, if you were a Philadelphia sports fan, you got the Phillies who struggled last year. The Eagles didn't have a bad year. They came on late, made the playoffs. But your Sixers, in a very bitterly cold winter in Philly, 26 straight losses.
Well, you're talking to a Purdue fan whose men's basketball team and football team ended up in last place in the Big Ten in both sports, so I guess I can kind of sympathize with them.
Well, it's not going to get any better, and even with draft picks, I'm not even sure if they can get anything. You know, if you look at the drafts coming out in the NBA the last few years, a lot of teams have taken the young guys, Joe, and not very many of them are contributing on what you call the high level yet. So, of course, Noah Vonleh will be in that draft coming up. Have we been able to get a hold of Jeff Rabjohn?
Not yet. Maybe we should just take a break, and then we'll continue on until I get a hold of him.
Well, you know how, folks, you got to understand, internet talk radio, cell phones, trying to, our guests, we're hoping to get a hold of Jeff Rabjohns to come on and talk a little bit about the Hoosiers and some of the things going on in college basketball from the recruiting side. We're going to take our first break. Hopefully we can get a hold of Jeff. If not, we have all the NCAA games that we need to talk about, and there are a lot of them. And who are you picking tonight? You know, that's the big question. Who are you going to pick tonight? Of course, there's a big one going on in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you're from UK or UL, I'm sure you're already headed to Indy or getting close. But we'll talk about all that coming up. We'll also be talking state, Indiana High School State Boys Basketball Finals. Of course, I got a special connection on Saturday morning with one of those teams. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. You're talking to the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, on the Coach K and Joe Show. And Tyler Zeller playing pretty well right now for the Cavaliers. We had Tyler on the show earlier in the year. And the Coach K and Joe Show effect took over for Tyler. He started playing pretty well, get more playing time, get more points, and the Cavaliers started a run of wins there for a while. So, he and his brother Cody Zeller, former IU star, Cody Zeller, playing for Charlotte Bobcats and also playing pretty well for the Bobcats. We're hoping to have Jeff Rabjohns on to talk to us a little bit, but we'll see. We're trying to get a connection with him. But right now, we're going to talk a little bit NCAA basketball. Folks, there were some great games last night. You know, I know not everybody is a college basketball fan, and some may not even be a sports fan. But, folks, March Madness is unlike any type of sports event in that it transcends that. It reaches out past the walls of sports and becomes about raw emotion and opportunity that are given to teams and individuals that they've never had before, or maybe it's their last chance. A lot of these guys, no matter how good of basketball players they are, they'll never play again after they graduate. This tournament that they're in is their last opportunity, and we have seen this year in and year out, and we saw it in the first round of 64 and 32. They leave it on the floor. They leave it on the floor, and that's why a team like Mercer, made up of upperclassmen, beats a team like Duke, who March Madness and Duke, it's synonymous. It's synonymous with what Coach K and his program have done at Duke over the last 20 years or more. But a team like Mercer, a team like North Dakota State, who's always had really good basketball. I mean, North Dakota State, if you go back and look at their history, they had great basketball. It was their chance in the dance, their last chance for a lot of these young men. And they did it. They took advantage of it. So now we get into last night's games. We're in the Sweet 16, and everybody loves getting to the Sweet 16. Florida, UCLA are playing against each other. Dayton, Stanford, Wisconsin, Baylor hooked up. Arizona, San Diego State. All of these teams, let me change that. Most of these teams were expected to move into the Sweet 16. Except a team like Dayton and Stanford. You know, it's a great thing that Dayton and Stanford moved on into the Sweet 16. There might be some people that had them, but I doubt if anybody had both of them, or very few. The sad thing was Dayton and Stanford had to play each other. That's the unfortunate thing, because you had two what I call upstart teams, seed-wise. They have to go up against each other instead of being in different brackets. But Dayton, the Flyers of Dayton, win that game. They're moving to the Elite Eight. And I'm telling you, the people in Dayton, Ohio, on that campus, they are having a ball. And we have several listeners that have gone to Dayton. In fact, one of our contributors, Bill Somm, on the football side, went to Dayton, a graduate of Dayton. That place is just wild right now, and they should be. They're in the Elite Eight. They played last night, 82-72. Their head coach, Archie Miller, he's having a ball right now. His dad was an ex-high school basketball coach, a lifer, what we call coaches, lifers. And his brother, listen to this, Archie Miller's in the Elite Eight, and his brother, Sean Miller, the coach of a number one seed, Arizona, they're in the Elite Eight. They won a tough, tough game, and I had a coin flip on this one. I believe the Arizona-San Diego State game could have gone either way. Arizona ends up pulling it out, 70-64, beating Steve Fisher and his San Diego State team. They bow out 31-5, Arizona 33-4. So we've got two brothers in the Elite Eight. We've got Arizona and Sean Miller, and we've got Dayton and Archie Miller. So that's really interesting. Also winning last night, Florida and UCLA, and I'll tell you what, Florida, for you listeners who question Florida, and guess what? I was one of them. They look good. They look real good. Billy the Kid, Coach Billy Donovan, has this team hitting on all cylinders. They're physical inside. They're quick on the outside. They can shoot. They have post play, and they can defend. And they beat a good UCLA team coached by Steve Alford, and Steve got his team to the Sweet 16. A young man that did not have a good tournament, he's got several more to come, would be Steve's son, Bryce Alford, who plays for UCLA. He struggled a little bit in the tournament, but he's only a freshman. He's got time to make that up. And then one of the games that I was really interested in last night, because I'm a Big Ten guy, and I know Joe's a Big Ten guy, but one of the games I was really interested in was Wisconsin-Baylor. I thought Baylor was playing pretty well, although they've had trouble being consistent. They have a pretty solid zone. But if you looked at the matchup of Wisconsin and Baylor, if Wisconsin shoots the ball well, it gives them a really nice advantage. They get the win 69-50. I love Wisconsin. I love their coaching. I love the way they play. I love the makeup of the team. But I got to be honest with you, I was a little suspect about them going into the tournament. And the reason is because they didn't really play that well towards the end of the season. They struggled last year in the tournament. So I was worried that Wisconsin's style of play depended too much on their ability to shoot the basketball. But it's worked out for them, 69-52. They will go to the Elite Eight game. Joe, right now Wisconsin's playing as well as anybody. Joe may be off. Joe may be off trying to get our guests. So, yeah, the Wisconsin's playing as well as anybody. So, big games tonight if you're an NCAA fan, and one of the biggest, UL, Kentucky, University of Louisville, Kentucky Wildcats. That's going to be an interesting matchup. I think that I was pretty impressed. I'm not a Kentucky fan, but I was pretty impressed with the way the Wildcats have been playing, playing a little bit more composed, playing a little bit smarter, taking and making the extra pass, hitting their free throws. This is a young team, but it looks like Coach Cal has them maturing at the right time. Looks like he has them maturing. If you're a University of Kentucky fan, if you're a Wildcat fan, what do your Wildcats have to do in order to beat the Cardinals and Rick Pitino? Well, we know what Rick's going to do. We know what the Cardinals are going to do. They're going to come at you. They're going to play you tough. The great thing about this rivalry is both schools know each other. They've played before. They're going to be a little different in the tournament, and both coaches know each other very well. I remember many moons ago, when I was out at the five-star camps in Pittsburgh, Coach Pitino, Coach Cal were just assistant coaches moving towards becoming head coaches, and they hung around then. They'd known each other for years. They're competitors with each other. I think they're friends, but they're like the kind of friends who can end up in arguments pretty easily. They are competitors. Coach Cal tries to get in Pitino's head, and Pitino just tries to out-coach Cal. And it will be interesting. I think a key to this game is going to be the Harrison twins. They have to handle Louisville's pressure. If they can handle Louisville's pressure and make good decisions with that basketball, that's going to be all the difference in the world, because I think that Kentucky has the weapons, with Randall and Young and some of the other guys to play well on the interior, to be tougher than Louisville is. Remember, Kentucky beat Louisville the first time. So I really think one of the keys to this matchup, one of the keys to this game, is going to be the Harrison twins for Kentucky handling U of L's pressure. We know we're going to see an up-tempo game. Both teams like to get out and go. If Louisville has one weakness, in my opinion, they don't really have a real focus on how to get the ball to the inside without it being a dribble drive. And they are prone to taking quick, erratic shots. But, you know, that will happen with an up-tempo team who creates a lot of their offense from their defense. They will have a tendency to do that. They will have a tendency to take some quick shots that maybe are not the best. The one thing that plays into this, Kentucky will do the same, and that's why I said the Harrison twins are going to be critical in this. Will they make smart decisions? Have they learned how to play at this level, especially in this tournament? Will they move the basketball, make the extra pass, not try to force things where they shouldn't? If they do that, I think UK has a good chance of beating Louisville again, although I have Louisville in my Final Four. I think UK, the way they played in this tournament so far, I like what UK's doing. The other game that I think is a big game, well, they're all big games. It depends on who you're rooting for, but I like the matchup. Virginia and Michigan State. Here's a Virginia team. Coach Bennett does a great job with them. He learned well from his mentor, his father, and he's got better athletes than his father ever had. They played a more ferocious pace. They defend like crazy. I think that's going to give Michigan State some problems. Payne and Dawson will be critical in this game for Michigan State. They have the opportunity to take advantage on the inside, but Virginia doesn't let you get a lot of good looks. Virginia does not let you get a lot of good looks. They're going to be in your face. And when I say good looks, folks, I'm not talking about just shots. A lot of times people think you're just talking about shots. You're not really talking about shots. You're talking about the ability to pass, to make a free and open pass. So all those things come into play. If you were waiting for Jeff Rabjohns, we have not been able to get a hold of him yet. We're going to keep trying. I know Joe's making an effort on that. Joe, are you back with us?
Yes, I am back. I've not been able to get a hold of Jeff. I've left him a message to call into the show whenever he gets freed up. So,
but, you know, we're on the NCAA games. We're talking about UK, U of L. We're talking about Virginia, Michigan State. I think this is everybody really felt like going into the year, Joe, that if Michigan State, and if they would have stayed healthy, they would have been a number one seed. It's ironic that they're playing Virginia, who nobody looked at as a number one seed going in. Michigan State would have been a number one seed had they stayed healthy, and now these two are matching up in a big game. I think it's a game that either team can win. I think Virginia poses a lot of problems for Michigan State and vice versa, Michigan State for Virginia. But, Joe, would you not agree with me that you've got to give the edge to Michigan State if, in nothing else, the fact that Tom Izzo's on the sideline, he's been there, done that over and over and over again?
Yeah, as you said, if they would have stayed healthy all year, they would probably have been a number one seed. And so, basically, we have the two number one seeds in my eyes playing in the Sweet 16 round, which, you know, if you're Virginia, you're like probably thinking of a lot of other four seeds you would rather play than Michigan State. I mean, they've got all their pieces to the puzzle back, and, you know, and I think they're finally healthy, and they should be a tough Cavaliers.
Oh, I think they're going. I think it's a great matchup. I really do. I think that Virginia has so much athletic ability, and they get after you. And that's a Bennett style. That's Coach Bennett's current Coach Bennett style. That was his dad's style. They get after you defensively. The difference is they're very athletic in doing it. And, you know, if you play basketball, folks, and you got somebody up in your face, it's not only, like I said a couple minutes ago, it's not only getting a shot, it's being able to pass the ball. And guards and for you people that have played the game understand, when people are taking away your sight lines and forcing you your body to turn to the side, you can't see where you want to go with the ball. Even though Dawson and Payne may be open, it's going to be tough to get to them. On the other hand, Virginia is not going to have played against any better player than Gary Harris. Now, they played against some good ones, but Gary Harris is tough. And so I think it's a great matchup. I really do believe that Virginia is very capable of winning this game. I like Michigan State. I like them because, well, I've got them in the Final Four. But I like, in the end, game time adjustments. If those opportunities come, they're necessary. I believe, and this doesn't mean Coach Izzo's a better coach per se than Coach Bennett. It just means he's more experienced. He's been there. And you can't go out and hire Coach Izzo's out there. Coach Izzo's got his experience because he's like Coach Krzyzewski. He's been at the same place for a long time, has a program that continues to feed itself. The pipeline's always full, and they know how to play. And now they're playing not only with ability, they're playing with tradition. They're playing with a mental toughness and a confidence that says, we're Michigan State. We've been here before. Our coaching staff gets it. They know what we need to do when it comes crunch time. That doesn't mean Virginia can't win the game. Virginia's very capable of winning the game. They played tough teams all year. They've won. They've been successful. They're playing out on the East Coast, which is good for them. But Michigan State, I think it comes down to crunch time, close game. I give that to Coach Izzo. And, of course, Joe, we've got Michigan-Tennessee, a team you talked about early in the year. I think you mentioned your brother was a big Tennessee fan or something like that. Here's a coach, Quanzo Martin, former Purdue player, got no respect from the Tennessee fans, none. And now he got into the play-in game. They're hot. People are talking a storm up about Tennessee with the athletic players they have, the inside game. Quanzo Martin, his stock has risen tremendously as a coach and a recruiter. I feel good about it.
Yeah, I feel good about Tennessee's chances as well. They, a month ago, he was the scourge of the state of Tennessee. Now he's the darling. You know, they went through some tough times too, and it's not how you start; it's how you finish, right, Coach? Is that probably your philosophy when you were a coach?
Well, you like to be going peaking at the right time. They were very lucky to get the play-in opportunity that they got. They took advantage of it and won with strength and toughness. They're moving through this tournament. Michigan does pose them some problems because Michigan has a lot of shooters on the team and they're quick. So it's not a matter of they need to go inside to score. If Michigan is hitting that perimeter shot, and Michigan's capable of the dribble drives. They reverse the basketball. Coach John Beilein does a good job with that. You know, I know Josh Houchins has had to hear it for several years. I've never been a big believer in Michigan's ability, the way they build their team. But I'll tell you what, they're getting it done because they hit shots. And that's going to make it tough on Tennessee because if they had to depend on the inside to score, I would say that Tennessee would have the advantage. On the other hand, the Michigan defense, Joe, is going to be tested because Tennessee is physical. They go to the basket. They rebound. So Michigan is going to have to check out. They're going to have to make sure they're blocking out all the way because Tennessee will pound you on the boards. They will pound you on the board. So that's going to be a good game. If you're a Michigan fan, feel good about it. Feel good about your opportunity tonight. But I tell you what, if you're a Volunteer fan, you got to be feeling pretty good too, because your team is playing well. It's playing the best it's played all year. And I just give Quanzo Martin tremendous respect, tremendous accolades for what he's been able to do with that team. So a lot of good games. And then the other ones, Iowa State. We've got Iowa State, who I think a lot of the pundits knew was a good team. A lot of fans are not so sure. But we've got Iowa State going up against UConn. Shabazz has been playing some pretty good ball. But I don't know. I don't know about this game. I'm going to give the edge to Iowa State, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that Iowa State plays a brand of basketball that matches UConn in every area and takes it up a notch, and that notch is physical play. There's a difference in the bump grind physical play and the quickness physical play. And I've just been talking about that. People in your face. Iowa State does such a great job of getting up in you. If you're familiar with basketball terms defensively, getting up in you, you know, not giving you room. And I think that's going to be tough on UConn. And they do a great job of getting the ball out. Coach Hoiberg, they have done a tremendous job with this team. Even with the injury they had, the next guy stepped up. You know the old term, next man steps up? Well, that's what's going on with Iowa State, and they get after you. And you know, it's really tough when you practice and you prepare for a game to simulate quickness, especially physical quickness, because you either have it on your team or you don't. You either played it on your schedule or you haven't, and you say, you know, oh, Coach K, well, yeah, of course, that's not anything major. Yeah, it is. Because when you get in the tournament and you meet some of these teams and you prepare yourself, you watch tape, you walk through, you go through how you're going to stop this, how you're going to step out, how you're going to double here. It doesn't happen that way when you get in a game because you can't simulate the quick and the physical play with of that quickness in practice, in walkthroughs, watching film. And that's why I love watching a ton of tape, but I love seeing the team in person at least one time, because I wanted to see what that person, that player, really looked like up close. I wanted to see how they compared physically in stature, what their move was really like. You can get 98% of it on tape, but 2% just seeing them in person makes a big difference. So a lot of good games tonight. I'm going to pick Michigan over Tennessee. I know Joe's not going to be happy about that. I'm going to pick Iowa State over UConn. I'm going to go with I'm just going to go with Louisville over Kentucky, because I think the freshmen are going to make some mistakes. Kentucky may end up winning by 15. I don't know. You Kentucky fans will be all over me. But I'm going to pick Louisville, just because I think the freshmen are going to make some mistakes in critical points of the game. I'm going to go with Michigan State over Virginia, but it's not going to shock me if Virginia wins that game. And I'm taking Michigan State because I'm taking a Big Ten team. You call me a homer. Call me a Big Ten homer. Maybe I am. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to hope we have Mike DeCourcy here. We're going to switch gears, folks. We're going to be talking about Indiana State basketball tournament, the boys state tournament, taking place in Indianapolis on Saturday, 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A championships. And I might make mention before our discussion's over about the possibility of them, of this, the IHSA changing to a three-class boys basketball state tournament. that's all being talked about and voted on, at least in discussions, I know. But we may talk about that as well. But we've got Indiana State Boys Basketball Tournament coming up. Mike DeCourcy is supposed to join us at the top of the hour to talk a little bit about the Barrie Vikings and the Michigan City Marquette team playing in the 1A. And I have a special connection in that game. And I will be there with a press pass, as I should be, because you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Coach Ken Schultheis. And remember, folks, for financial advisor, you know, you need to look no further than Edward Jones. Edward Jones has a trusted system. It's been in place for decades. It perpetuates. It grows. It leaves a legacy for all the hard work that you've done for your family, as well as takes care of you while you're here. Give Janet Schultheis a call with Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Listen, doesn't matter where you're at in the country, call this number, 812-479-8215. 401k rollovers, IRAs, 529s, she'll take care of you. We are back on the show, and we are moving from NCAA March Madness to Indiana High School Boys Basketball State Tournament, not state playoffs. That's not what we call it in Indiana. It's the state tournament. It's Indiana's version of March Madness, and it's every bit as crazy. With us, we've got the play-by-play man for the 1A state final game participants against Michigan City Marquette, the Barrie Vikings, Mike DeCourcy, joining us to talk about that 1A state final matchup. Mike, are you
ready, Coach, to go? Hey, we are ready, Coach. We are definitely ready.
Well, I'll tell you, this has been I've been able to follow this. Of course, my special connection is my son, Josh, is one of the assistant coaches with Coach Brian Hughes and his group. And, of course, Josh has just been a great learning experience for him, and he's excited. They went up to Indianapolis yesterday. They spent the night. They'll spend the night again tonight before their game tomorrow. And I know that this matchup, and let's talk a little bit about that before we talk about all the fun that's going to go on with the Barrie fans as they prepare for state final game up in Indianapolis. But this is a Michigan City Marquette team that maybe a lot of people south of Indianapolis hasn't heard about. Team has size, it has quickness, it has athletic ability, it can score, it can defend. This is probably going to be, for sure, the best matchup that Barrie has seen this year.
Yeah, I think so, Coach, and you know, going through some of the things that we've seen on tape and things that you hear from other people, and I know their coach is a Bloomington South product, so a lot of people, if anybody's seen how Bloomington South has played throughout the years, you know, you're going to see a lot of the same thing. They're absolutely going to just totally sprint the ball up the floor on a rebound or even after a Nate basket. They're going to fill the wings. They're going to go quickly. They predominantly are going to play man-to-man defense. They don't run maybe a lot of sets like the Vikings do.
You know, they're more of just a kind of a continuity team, but they want to go fast. And, you know, we're going to have to be ready. Our transition defense, which has been good all year, it's going to need to be on point for 32 minutes tomorrow to help us have a chance.
You know, one of the things going into this particular game, after Barre won their semi-state, beat Clay City, and then looking at who they would play, and I've done a little work my own on this, I do think the Clay City matchup, even though it was a team that Barre had handled earlier in the year, and definitely Barre was better, Clay City played a style that was a run-and-jump style basketball that I've used in the past. They accentuated what they didn't have in size. They used their quickness. I really do think that at least helped Barre in some mental preparation for this game, because they had to be prepared for the hard dribble run and jump that Clay City was using. So as they run into what I think is even going to be a quicker team in Michigan City Marquette, I think they're at least a little bit better prepared, because they handled that with poise and composure pretty well in the semi-state.
Yeah, they did. And I was just talking to a media guy this morning, and I said, even though, you know, we scored 75 points in that basketball game, I still feel like the game was kind of played at our pace. You know, Clay City kind of got it out of the net, or got a rebound, and they sprinted the ball. They were the ones that shot quickly. We went to the half court when we could. If they came out and maybe over pursued on defense, then we went a little bit quicker. But I don't think we were rushed the entire game, and even the speed of the game and the increased possessions. Looking at it this morning, we had 8 turnovers in the game, and two of those were committed in the last couple of minutes when the subs were in the basketball game. So obviously it's going to be a different level. You know, you can't draw one set of conclusions from another. But this is you're exactly right, Coach, and Clay City and the way they played last week has done nothing but a big favor for us heading up to Indianapolis tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, the other thing about this Michigan City Marquette team, they have some seniors, a lot of maturity. They all didn't play together, though, for years like Barre has. Some of these guys came into the school in the last year or two. I don't want to say recruiting, but maybe took advantage of the voucher opportunities. I'm not sure. And if anyone's listening from the IHSAA, I am not insinuating anything like that. We love the IHSAA. They do a great job and can't wait to be a part of the tournament tomorrow. But they've got a sophomore, 6'4", 235. They've got a 6'8", junior, I believe. They've got some quick guards. I really think when you look at the physical matchups, this is really matched up well. I mean, Barre has some quickness. Barre has some size. Even though they don't have the 6'8 size, that young man for Michigan City Marquette seems to want to play more on the perimeter. But Addison Wagler is a big, strong 6'4", 6'5 guy down low. You've got Loniger. This is a good matchup. I think the key is going to be how quick is the overall Michigan City Marquette team. And you made a point early when we started talking. You said they like to get out with the basketball. And one of the pet peeves I've always had in coaching and still talk about today, the best time to score on the other team is after they have scored, because they're kind of celebrating, even though not outwardly. They're turning their backs, getting back. They're thinking about how they just scored. Boom, Michigan City Marquette ball out. They're at half court before you turn around.
Yeah, and that's one thing we prided ourselves on, Coach, and it kind of goes with maybe the mood around the community. I mean, the other three times we've been to the state finals, it's been great because there's been road bumps on the way. 2010, we make a last-second shot to win the sectional. 2007, a last-second shot to win the semi-state. 2002, we got injuries galore, and basically kind of end Jack Butcher's career to eventually start that journey. So there were so many hurdles. This is a year where, quite frankly, I think I speak for myself, but a lot of other people, we expected to be there. We knew that something had to happen along the way, maybe a team that was a year ahead of schedule, maybe an injury, where this moment wouldn't be possible. I think this is a year where Barre fans expected to be there. And consequently, we've not been too high or too low all season long. You know, everybody's excited, but it's the right amount of excitement. And that's and that kind of comes from the guys on the floor. And I guess to kind of extend that point is you don't see a lot of hijinks or tomfoolery after we score a basket, because we expect to score baskets. And, we've been in this position where we expect to do it all season long. And I think that's why our transition defense has been so good. I think the attitude and the disposition of our team, I think it's perfect for this week. I don't think we're going to get caught up in any celebrating. I think that's going to bleed over to tomorrow. And I really like the mindset of our team all season long. And I think that's that's. You know, part of that's just being expecting to play tomorrow. We've expected to be here all season long.
Yeah, and Mike, what you're saying is absolutely correct. And I want our listeners to understand, it's not a cockiness; it's a confidence. It's a confidence that we've been building for this. We know we're a good team. Our tradition is that we've experienced this three times. You know, Coach Hughes has been there all three times, so this is his fourth opportunity. You don't know what's going to happen because you're playing a team from a part of the state that you really don't have a lot of contact with. But there's a confidence and a poise about the team. They celebrate their victories, and they really couldn't deal with many losses. They've only had one, and that was middle of the year. They celebrate their victories. The fans are there supporting. They have a great time, but then they get ready to play the next one. And I know in talking to a couple of the coaches, there's a great focus among the kids, like you said, no tomfoolery, and that's probably why they're able to take those young men up there 2 days ahead of time, two nights in a hotel, because these guys understand this is where they're supposed to be and what they need to accomplish as they go into this final game.
Yeah, absolutely, and you'll hear people say it before, but and it's not just Coach Hughes, but so many coaches at Bar E, whether you're a varsity coach or you're down in the grades, you treat road trips like a business trip, and nobody is better at that than Brian Hughes. You know, we're going up here, we're going to have the right amount of fun, we're going to have a good time, but you know, we also know what we're here to do, and that's why, you know, like you said, you can go up and practice at a 7 o'clock slot at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and you know, you basically got the lay of the land in the city, you know, to yourself for a couple of days before the fans get there. And his disposition, it's always bled over to the team. Even when there has been adversity in the past, when there has been an opportunity for maybe some demonstrative, actions by players that just don't do it. And the reason why is you get that from the guy on the sideline and Coach Hughes. And Travis and I talked about it all the time on the radio. There's probably two or three times in a game where he says something to an official. When he says something, he's really got something to say. Other than that, he leaves it alone. And I think that bleeds over to the players on the floor and that disposition that you're talking about.
You know, Mike, we talk about as coaches, and I truly believe this. Sometimes you let the moment become bigger than you are, and you really can't as a team, as a player, as a coach. You have to be as big as the moment you're in, because when the moment becomes bigger than you are, you lose sight, you lose focus, you get caught up in it. You may get intimidated. You may forget things you need to take care of. And I do think that this team, and folks, they're just high school players, but I do believe this team, as I said, from a leadership top to bottom, a young sophomore who learned it all last year as a freshman going through up to the regional round, this team is able to keep the moment, to be in the moment, but not let the moment be bigger than they are. And I really believe that becomes critical. Now, that doesn't mean that Michigan City Marquette isn't the better team. It just means that this Bar Eve team understands what they're doing, where they're at, and they understand what their responsibilities are in this. And as they go into this weekend and Friday night, people will start arriving in Indianapolis, the north side on the Embassy Suites on the north side of town, And your radio station, your owner, Dave Crooks, who is just a great supporter of communities and their activities and sports and the things that make small town Indiana or middle town Indiana, whatever you want to call it, special. You guys are doing a lot of stuff up there as you prepare for this game. Tell us a little bit about what's going to go on.
Well, yeah, it's and like you said, Dave is a great guy. He's got some core beliefs of his radio stations, and one of those is that area high school athletics should be covered, and they should be covered, predominantly. Even a school like Washington Catholic, your old stomping grounds, who's had a rough go of it the last couple of years. The core beliefs of his radio stations is, hey, every conceivable opportunity that we can put those kids on the radio, they deserve that coverage. And that's what Dave and DLC Media and all their fine folks have been about. But tonight up at Embassy Suites, we've got a live radio show from 5 to 7. You can hear it on 95.9 and 107.9 here in southern Indiana. And we're going to, be talking to hopefully some coaches and some fans and different people and talking about things going on around the state. He's got some entertainment coming in. Ed Rodeimel is a guy who's formerly of a band called American Pie. They always kind of got together anytime Bar Eber Washington's in the state finals. They usually do a show, and it's a great show. And it's just a nice time for people in the community to come out and hang out and relax enjoy the moment. I think you get so caught up in the excitement that it's nice to maybe sit back with some friends, family, some neighbors, and enjoy the calm before the storm. Because tomorrow at 10:30, as you know, it's going to be pretty hectic. But tonight it'll be a lot of fun, and I know the Bar Eve community, we really enjoy just kind of hanging out and being around each other and together.
Well, as much as it is about the destination, which you just said at 10:30 tomorrow at Bankers Life against Michigan City Marquette, the journey is so important, and it's great to see that people who are following the team, the parents, the fans, people who have just taken interest in a small community like Montgomery and Cannelburg, Alfordsville, coming together to make up the Bar Eve Township Community Schools and just want to be a part of that, can be a part of that. And, Mike, that's what makes Indiana high school basketball so special, the IHSA so special. There's three other games going on Saturday. Park Tudor will play Westview. And just as Bar Eve, I thought this was pretty interesting, just as Bar Eve
is
made up of a Amish and Mennonite community, Westview is as well.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Community, it's obviously northern Indiana, but a large Mennonite community. A lot of our kids, we've got some Catholics and Mennonites and basically nothing in between. And a lot of our kids go to a program that they call the Bible Memory Camp. Basically, it's kind of a church camp thing. And we have so many kids who go and know so many of these Westview kids from this program that they do each summer. It's unbelievable. We've got kids from both communities that actually they date each other, because they're down and we have kids that go up there. They have kids that come down here. When the volleyball team was in the state championship game at Muncie, there was a slew of kids from Westview that came down to watch our girls in the volleyball game because they had been involved in these activities together. So tomorrow I think you're going to see a lot of the Westview community arrive early because, like I said, you've got some family, you've got some cousins, you've got a nice mix. And I know the black and white's going to stay and support Westview when it's all said and done. So I tell you, it's a really neat story. I saw a tweet that John Harrell had out a couple of weeks ago where he said that you talk about separate classes for Catholic schools and you have separate classes for private schools. And, the ongoing debate that you hear all the time, and he said, I think in the tweet, to paraphrase, he said, maybe Bar Eve and Westview, they should form a Mennonite class, in the IHSAA, because obviously something's going on at those two schools. It was a funny tweet, but, like I said, it's going to be kind of a family reunion tomorrow, and that's really, really cool.
And that's what makes up the ISSA state tournament. So if you're in India, if you're in Indianapolis and you see some of the horse and buggies coming down, be careful. That's the Amish community coming in for that first session of the state tournament. In the second session, Mike Greensburg, who has an outstanding team, plays another outstanding team. These guys know how to win state championships. Bowman Academy in 3A. Indianapolis Trail Isles will be taking on Lake Central, and Lake Central has a heck of a team. All in all, Mike, it should be a great Saturday of basketball, starting with the Barrie Vikings and Michigan City Marquette.
Well, I think you'll be glad to know, Coach, that I've just gotten out of therapy after the Bowman Academy incident in 2010, because I have never seen a team that played so that they were so fast and so quick and so physical, and we made it a ball game. It was a lot of fun, and it was a little frustrating knowing that you saw their enrollment and they should have been a 3A school even back then, but they're playing by the IHSA rules. There's nothing that they did, but man, to have a school with, I think eventually they had four Indiana All-Stars and four Division I players playing against our kids from Montgomery. It was it was an interesting matchup, and it's basically a tie game, minute to go in the first half, and then bang, their pressure just finally got to us, and they rattled off, I think, 8 straight points and kind of got the separation they needed, and I've just never seen a team separate so quickly, but they and Greensburg, wow, what a game that should be tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and so if you're a basketball fan, especially high school basketball, get out to Bankers Life, check out the state championship games. The IHSA does a great job. I know they're talking about a 3-class system. That'll be a subject for another time. Mike, I will be up in Indy in about 4.5 hours. Hope to see you tonight.
Coach, I will see you, and I tell you what, if you are there, you drop by at any time between 5 and 7, and we would love to talk to you. We want to put you on the hot seat.
I'll be up at the Embassy Suites on the north side of Indy tonight, and we'll be getting ready for the IHSA state finals at Bankers Life. Mike, thanks for being with us. Good luck to the Vikings.
Coach, always enjoy. Thanks a lot. See you tonight.
Hey, we're going to go to a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to stick with the Indiana high school theme, but we're going to be talking some golf. We're going to be talking to a member of the Jasper High School golf team, Jacob Bartley, the 15th-ranked Wildcats, outstanding golf program. But we're going to go to break first. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Ken Schulteis, and we're staying with our high school theme in this second hour. We were talking about Indiana high school basketball in the state tournament, but now, believe it or not, spring is in the air. Golf clubs are being swung, not by me yet, and terribly by me, but very well by our next young guest, Jacob Bartley of the 15th-ranked Jasper Wildcat golf team in the Indiana High School golf rankings. Jacob, welcome to the show.
It's nice to be here.
Well, for our listeners, we're talking to a high school age golfer here, and he may be a little nervous on the air. I don't know. I don't think he will be. Jacob, I'm sure that before the snow melted, before the temperature started to warm from the minus and 10s and 20s into what we have now, which is only the 40s, it's the 50s, it's supposed to warm up a little bit more. I'll bet you were out swinging that golf club way ahead of all this.
Me, Cam Wire, and Reed Milligan, or Reed Lori, that is. We go up to French Lick about 2 to 3 times a week, to, you know, keep our game sharp and work to get better for next year. So, you know, we've been putting in the work this offseason. We're excited to see what kind of results we can get later on this year.
Well, the people that vote for the golf top golf teams in the state seem to have the respect for your team, for the program that Coach Steve Milligan has put together at Jasper. But as you go into the season, let's just start right at the end of last year. You guys had another trip to the state, a good showing, but when graduation came, you lost, well, one of the best golfers in Jasper history and one of the best golfers in the state of Indiana, in Will Sager. I'm sure you guys learned a lot from playing with Will and seeing how he handled things. Are you guys ready to pick up the torch and go forward without a player of Will's stature?
I think we are. Like I said, we've been working really hard this offseason to, you know, to get leaps and bounds better than we were last year and try to anchor this new Jasper team. And Will and Drew, they taught us a lot how we're going to be able to lead the team and about everything we know today. So we're going to miss them a lot, but we're looking forward to seeing what we can accomplish this next year.
As a young golfer, a young athlete in the state of Indiana, it's always great when you look and see that your team's got some respect and you're in the rankings, but obviously you guys have been there for many years, year in and year out, really. The focus isn't on what people think about you. The focus is on what you guys need to do, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. We really don't listen too much about the preseason rankings or rankings in general, for that matter. But, I mean, we just have one goal, and that's to get to the state title and then contend for that state title. So, yeah, we really don't listen too much about rankings. We just go out and play.
You know, Jacob, a lot of people play golf. A lot of them never played in high school for their team or went on to college and played, but they picked the game up afterwards. Are there like me, and about three times a year I'll have the courage to go out and swing the club and watch it go left and right and everywhere it's not supposed to go. But when you guys start getting out there on the course and you're practicing and then you're getting ready for your golf matches, what are the two or three things that you as a team, you as players, I know you're trying to shoot for a low score, but what are you guys focused on as far as fundamentally the things that you need to do out there on the course?
Well, first of all, you have to have a strong mental game. You can't let anything get to you. You got to take one shot at a time, and you just let the bad shots go, first of all. You have to be very strong mentally to be able to be good at this sport. Other than that, I mean, I just focus on me and the course. I don't care what the other players around me are doing. And that's basically just about it. I mean, practice makes perfect, obviously, but yeah, that's basically it.
And when you look at your personal game, you know, there's chipping, there's putting, there's driving, there's short game. What are the things, when you look at what is the strength of your game at this point in the season, and what is that one area you're really working on to lift up? Because you know the old saying, you're only as good as your weakest link. When you look at a strength in your game and you look at what you need to improve on, what are those two things you're looking at?
I'd say the strength of my game would be just ball striking in general. That's what I put the most work into, so, I mean, it should be. But and then the weakest link would probably have to be my short game. Sultan's Run just put in a new short game facility, so I've been trying to utilize that to my advantage lately. So Once I can tighten that up, I think I'll be in for a great year of golf this year.
Well, you know, you played a lot of different sports growing up. I know that for a fact. But what was there one defining thing or one what drew you to golf? What was it that you said, you know, I really like golf. I'm gonna make a focus on golf, and I'm gonna try to be a part of this high school golf team.
I just think the love that I got from Steve, first of all, he really wanted me to come play golf. And growing up, I mean, I loved baseball and golf. I mean, not the same amount, but I just came, as I grew older, I just came to love golf feel even that much more. And I don't know, I just, it's just what I fell in love with. And I guess that's it.
Yeah, and when you look at the strengths of the Jasper golf team, again, you're preseason ranked 15th. What are the one or two strengths of this team as you go into this golf season?
Well, our top three guys, me, Cam Wire, and Reed Lorai, we've been here, we've done this before, so we should be able to anchor the front for us. We should be hovering around even par, low to mid 70s. And then we have a Swedish exchange student that is here. And early on in practice, he's shown a lot of potential. He's been playing pretty well, so we're looking at him as our four-man right now. And there's a couple freshmen that we're trying to groom and work with to become the 5 and 6 spot. Carson Pierce, Matt Lotus, Luke Lehan. We've been working with them, you know, try to get better and show them the reins.
And Jasper, perennially in almost all the sports, as a community, are successful in the high school level, state recognition, tournament, doing well throughout the year. But as you look at the teams in your area, the teams that you need to get by, and I know golf is set up a little differently. They take, as you move on in the tournament, it's not just the winner. They'll take some of the top two or three, whatever teams, as you go through the different levels. But who are some of the teams around you that people will notice or will see in the paper as doing really well?
In our area, you'll see, I mean, just about every Evansville school is going to be up there and playing well. Memorial, I know, just about every year as well, but they might be a little bit down this year. Floyd Central should be pretty good. Center Grove, Providence, those schools around there toward Louisville, they should be pretty well this year. And then, of course, you got your Indy schools that are going to be up there.
For those of us who are not really golfers by nature, you go out, you play all the time. When you go into a meet, do you have a set score that you're trying to reach? You say, I want to be under par, I want to be par, or is it really about just going out, striking the ball, taking each shot as it comes, and just hitting it well?
Yeah, I really don't think too much about my end score, what I want to try to shoot, but like you said, take one shot at a time, and I know if I do that, then my score at the end will be where I want it to be.
Well, Jacob, it was great having you. I know the golf team is going to be successful, and I know we'll be talking with Coach Steve Milligan at some point down the road. If you don't go on to play golf somewhere else, college-wise, you are focused on going somewhere to college, and I just want to make sure my co-host Joe Milligan hears where it is that you plan on, unless something changes, where you plan on attending 4 years of college.
Yeah, I'm looking to attend Indiana University. Looking to stay business there. Not sure what end yet, but that's the plan right now.
The sweet sound of IU, another Hoosier, another red white Hoosier, cream and crimson, ready to go. Love to hear it. Jacob, thanks for being with us during your spring break.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to finish up the show. We'll talk about some of the other things going on in sports. There's plenty. I mean, it never ends. Money, competition, you name it, it's here from the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. It doesn't matter. We'll talk some more NCAA March Madness to finish it up. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Folks, we've got about 25 minutes left, and then I'm heading up to Indianapolis for the NCAA games and the state finals. I don't know if I'm going to get into the NCAA games or not, so if any listener out there has a way to get me in, you can text me at 812-480-9449. Coach K would love to be in the house. With us now, he hadn't been with us for a couple weeks, and he tried to bug out on me today. He's our Indianapolis Hoops contributor. He has to be here on this day. I know he's getting ready for spring break. I know he's got all those things going on. But Indy is the home of the state finals. It's the home of a couple of the biggest NCAA games this weekend. Don Schulteis, our Indy contributor, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be back on, Coach K. I'm actually on my way after Florida won last night. We decided to get up early today and make a trek down to Gainesville, Florida. So I'm going to be celebrating with the Gator fans in Gainesville tonight as they prep to play their Elite Eight game on Saturday. Actually, that is where we're going to stop on our way to spring break to into the Gulf Coast of Florida. But makes for a better story that way. and
I know you, and I know your family. You will literally try to find a way to get involved with the Gator fans. I think that's great. Don, coming up this weekend in Indy, even though you've left the city, the state basketball boys tournament is going on. We talked a little bit earlier with Mike DeCourcy, play-by-play man for the Bari Vikings, about the Marquette Catholic Michigan City Marquette Catholic game. But there's two teams in the tournament that you know quite a bit about, and that is in the 2A game, Park Tudor, and in the 4A game, you know a little bit about Indianapolis Tech. Let's talk just quickly about these games. Park Tudor, of course, Trevon Blewett, outstanding player, one of the best in the country. They take on Westview, both teams 23-4. They will play in the second game of the first session at 11:45. Give us your thoughts on Park Tudor in that game.
I think Park Tudor's on a mission, Coach K, and I think they're going to complete the mission with a big victory over Westview. I have to admit I don't know a lot about Westview, read a few articles, but Park Tudor has played a stellar schedule, and they are playing some of their best basketball right now. I think they're going to win the state championship, kind of in a going-away fashion. So Trevon Blewett is going to have state championship number 3 to his name, and to carry another medal or ring or whatever they give him, he'll have 3 of them to take to Xavier with him to start next year.
You know, the disappointing – that's the wonderful part. The disappointing part, Don, is that he is leaving the state to play basketball. And I know your daughter went to Xavier, so you're pretty excited about that. But there's a great talent. I got to see him up close and personal at Seymour during the semi-state. Park Tudor played there. I got to see a number of the Park Tudor players. It was kind of a mix of what you looked at, some very athletic guys with some very typical small school basketball players with Park Tudor being a Catholic school, not a big school. It is 2A. But this is a team, Trevon Blewett really is, and he's got people around him, but he really is a phenomenal talent.
Well, there's no doubt about it. He's the top 3, maybe the top player, maybe the second top player in the state of Indiana, along with James Blackman and Trey Lyles. I think Trey Lyles is going to win Mr. Basketball, by the way, but he's definitely a stud, and he's led that team. He can take you inside and out. He's physical. He's quick. He's got a great jump shot. He can also go to the rim, rebounds well, plays great D. He's the total package, and he does lead that Park Tudor team, and he's going to lead them to another state championship, in my opinion.
Well, that game starts. It is in the first session. It is the second game of that session. 11:45 a.m. is when it's scheduled.
That's Central Time, 12:45 Eastern. Park Tudor again plays Westview. And folks, there's plenty of tickets. In the one-class system, you would have had a tough time finding a ticket, but there is tickets available. You can get in to see that session. They'll be the higher Bankers Life. It's a great place to watch. The second session, the 4A game, the 3A game is Greensburg, Bowman Academy. Bowman Academy is just good. Greensburg is just good. That'll be a lot of fun. But the 4A game features a tremendous player, a Kentucky recruit, Trey Lyles, and a Lake Central. They go up against the Lake Central team. I've done a little work on them and seen some YouTube video. They've got an outstanding team. You've got Indianapolis Arsenal Tech taking on Lake Central. Tech is 26-2, Lake Central 22-3. Don, is this a rematch? Did they play each other during the regular season?
They did, and Trey Lyles and company took care of business, going away, won by almost 20 points in that contest. I think that Lake Central is playing very well right now. They're on a roll. I think they're going to come in with some new wrinkles. It's going to be a battle, but I do think Tech is going to complete the goal that they set out at 3 years ago when Trey Lyles was a sophomore and John Delaney came in as head coach. They set a goal to win the state championship sometimes in this three-year run, and they're going to do it tomorrow.
Well, he's just a wonderful player to watch play. Trey Lyles, I think the thing, Don, that you told me about all year, and then I got a chance to see him play a couple times, he really is a team player. He, as much as he can dominate a game, he makes his team better because he's willing to share the ball. He's willing to be, the passer. He's willing to be the guy that the defense is focused on, and that's okay, kind of a misdirection, but I'm going to give it to other guys.
No doubt about it. In the sectional championship against Pike, where they really got into kind of a trouble, they were doubling down on him, and he didn't care. He gave it back up to his teammates. He ended up only having 6 points in that game. They won the sectional. He was elated that they had won the first sectional probably in, 35 years for Tech, on their way to getting to this championship game. You know, Trey has been named this week the Gatorade Player of the Year for Indiana. He averages almost 5 assists a game, as well as 11 rebounds a game and, 27 points. So, you know, he does a lot of different things, and that's probably why he feels like he can go to Kentucky and get prepped to maybe even be a one-and-done player.
Well, he's an outstanding talent. That's going to be a good game. As you said, early in the year it was a runaway. I believe Lake Central will be a little bit stronger coming into this, but it's going to be a great state tournament. And, Don, early in the show I talked about how March Madness on the college level, and I've got to say this on the high school level as well, it really transcends just the games being played. The emotion that these young men, the energy that these young men put out, for some of them it will be their last opportunity to play basketball on the level they're on or on any level. It will be the last opportunity for their teammates to share, for their communities to share in anything like this. For people who have never taken an interest in March Madness or high school sports, they really are missing out.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. This is one of the best months of the year, and it's because of the great tournaments that are going on. And, there's been articles all week in the Indianapolis Star, and people just talk about the memories that they had with the tournament. You talk to not only the players, but fans that have gotten involved in it over the many decades, and they talk about their memories about the tournament and how the excitement. It's just something really for everybody to get excited about it if you like basketball. And, you know, for guys like you and I, Coach, it's just, there's just nothing like it. This is my favorite month of the year. Well, Don, we appreciate you taking the time to come on. I'm sure you guys are ready for a great time. Lisa and the family ready to go. Meet some relatives. Are you going to meet Ho-Ho and BB down there?
No, we're not.
No. Unfortunate. A lot of fun. That's Don's mother and father-in-law. Don, when you get to Gainesville, if you do hang out with the Florida Gator fan, get a couple promos for the Coach K and Joe Show, and remember, make sure they say Coach K speaks the truth.
All right, Coach. You take care. See ya.
We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, folks, should college football, should college athletes be considered employees of the university? Is the NCAA at a watershed moment that could change the face of amateur athletics forever, for college athletics as we know them? Could Division I sports be rattled in a way we've never seen it rattled before? Let's go to a quick break. We'll talk just a few minutes about it as we end up the show. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We want to thank Don Schulteis, our Indy Hoops contributor, for taking time out on the road to talk with us. And, you know, folks, that's what's great about the Coach K and Joe Show. We're over the Internet. We have listeners all over the country, literally all over the world via the Internet. And why wouldn't we? They should want to listen to the show, especially when Joe jumps in with me. And we appreciate him taking the time to come on. You know, two things before we end the show. We're going to talk a little bit about the NCAA. The ruling, it actually does not affect the NCAA. It affects Northwestern University and will other universities going forward. But there'll be a lot of appeals, and it's probably going to end up in the Supreme Court at some point. But before we do that, I know we have a number of IU fans that listen, and just college basketball in general. IU, a lot of people were not shocked by this, Joe, but Noah Bonley decides to go pro. And what we're hearing is he's going to be anywhere in the top 12 picks. I don't think one or two, but anywhere from, I think, 4 to 12. So we're talking about significant money. Also, three gentlemen, at least up to this point, have decided to move out of IU and move on to somewhere else to play basketball, we believe. And there may be a couple more. There are players in other arenas doing the same thing. And the question has come up about the integrity of college sports, the commitment that players make or coaches make, because I really believe, and Joe, you can jump in with me as we talk about this, I really believe that the coaches and the universities have started this because there was a time, and I, folks, listen to me, I understand.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? will team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach dropped. I'm sorry for the pause there. Wasn't quite sure if I dropped or if Coach dropped, and we're trying to get him back on the line as we speak. And I think that we have Coach back, and here he is. Coach, are you back with us?
Joe, I'm not sure what happened.
You went silent, and I wasn't sure if I dropped or you dropped. So I wasn't sure
showed,
if you were going.
It showed my call still in place.
Yeah.
So
I was.
So folks,
so
that's
took,
what happened.
We took a quick commercial break, and we're back.
Well, what I was talking about, and probably talking to silence, was the integrity of the coach-player relationship right now, especially with some of the players leaving IU and maybe some more to go. And it's happening all over the country. It's just not IU. And I was really specifically making the point, Joe, and I know you and I have talked about this. It used to be that a coach walked into the living room, sat down with mom and dad, made a commitment to the son that they were recruiting. If he did his job, maybe he didn't pan out to be the player they thought he would be, but he had a four-year opportunity to get his degree as long as he did what he needed to do. And it seems like it's almost become a business deal. Everything's great at the beginning. We love each other. You're going to be the best. They promise you the world. Kid comes in. He doesn't meet the expectation of the coach. They start the process during the middle of the season, benching them, not playing them, putting them in difficult situations, and then they call them in for the end-of-the-year review. It used to be getting together with the coach at the end of the year and talking about what do you need to do to get better, how can you help the team, and furthering the relationship. Now it's the end-of-the-year review with the individual player. And I just wonder if all of this with the football players wanting at Northwestern wanting to have their own union, has the university and the coaches they've hired and the athletic directors, had they turned this thing, because of the money, have they turned this thing too much into a business, and therefore the players have no other choice than to look at this as a business and not a college athletic relationship?
Well, you know, Coach, it's kind of a two-way street. Yeah, players are transferring, but just as you said, the commitment has got to be both ways. And I think a lot of kids worry about the commitment coming from the coach. And you know, with players being dropped, if you're not good enough to help the team, they're dropped. I mean, I remember the John Burgosses and Jeff Arnolds of the past at Purdue that didn't pan out, but they were allowed to stay for 4 years and get a degree. And I think that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about all the players from Butler and IU and Purdue lost Ronnie Johnson transferring. But, you know, it's one of those deals where there's got to be a commitment from both ways, and I'm not quite sure if there is anymore, because I guess with the high-paid contracts these coaches have, there's a lot more pressure on them to perform, and they, you know, feel the need to get rid of players. And I know Purdue's been guilty of it the last couple of years too, of getting rid of some players because they feel like they fit the needs of what they had. They wanted to get different players. So I don't know. What's your opinion?
Well, again, I go back to your recruiting process. Are you building a team And a team isn't having 12 great players. A team is having 12 great teammates, a skill set. Some are going to be offensive-minded. Some are going to be the grinders and rebounders and defenders. Some are going to be solid coming off the bench. They're going to be acceptors of their role, and yet they're going to be stars within their role. Coaches are going to make commitments to their players. Universities are going to make commitments to their players. I mean, all of a sudden you go there, and then you're being told, you know, we really don't want you anymore after a year or 2 years because you're not at the level we thought you were going to be. It wasn't because you're a bad kid. It wasn't because you didn't practice hard. It wasn't because you didn't go to class. It was because I need a better player. And that is what worries me about the business side. And that's why when I think about what Northwestern's quarterback did and bringing this to a labor relations board, maybe they have a point. I mean, you had a Division I athlete in volleyball. Better benefits for medical help. You know, right now a lot of players, their families are stuck paying for that. And if there's rehab and things to be done, they're on the line for it. Better opportunities to graduate, finish their schooling, extended opportunities for master's degree or professionalizing, maybe some of the benefits of the finances coming through that the NCAA says you can't do now, maybe some of it's put in a trust fund. So I think that it works both ways. If college universities and college athletic departments are going to benefit so greatly off of these college athletes, then maybe they've done it to themselves, Joe. Maybe they've created this situation for themselves. You're dealing with smart young men and smart young women and some that have the courage to test the water. They did test the water. And the first level, the labor board, National Labor Relations Board, says, yeah, you can unionize. So I don't know that this is going to come out the way that it appears it's moving. Maybe the NCAA and the universities will get together and as they should, make some concrete commitments to athletes going forward to make sure they're taken care of from a medical standpoint and that type of thing. But Joe, I really struggle with where this has become such a business relationship. On one hand, they want them to stay in school, and on the other hand, they're complaining about the NBA taking players early. And then on a third hand that we don't see, and that's all behind the scenes, I don't know. They're not keeping their commitments. We got about a minute left. We really wanted to have Jeff Rabjohns on. We couldn't connect up. I really wanted to ask him some questions about things going on with the Hoosier basketball team. I do know this from guests we've had in the past. The Hoosiers are out there. The coaching staff is out there. They are trying to recruit. One of the main kids they're looking at is a year senior who wants to transfer from Temple. He would give immediate help to the Hoosiers, of course. That's a whole other bowl of potatoes, the fifth-year senior transfer rule. Joe, a lot of things going on this weekend. If you love sports, and even if you just love the emotion of sports, it's a great time to be in.
Yes, it is. It's you're a basketball junkie with the NCAA, with the ISSA state championships this weekend. There's a lot going on and a lot to look forward to.
Well, I'll be in Indy and maybe at the NCAA games, but for sure at the state finals. Joe, you can take us home because I'm getting ready to go.
Okay, well, you know, we invite all of our listeners to go out and attend a high school sporting event. I know we've got the IHSA boys basketball championships going on this weekend, but also spring sports are starting to kick in. I know softball here in Jasper started last night. The baseball team kicks off on Monday. The track team kicks off on Tuesday, so I'm sure it's like that at all high schools. And for the cost of admission, there's no better form of entertainment. So before I leave, I do want to wish Josh Schulteis and the Barrie Vikings good luck this weekend. Hopefully they'll be bringing home a state championship. So for Coach K, I'm Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media.
Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today.
See you next week.